Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
But honestly, it's been a blessing in disguise having her live next door. So it is handy, but you still need to respect her boundaries. I can't just be like, "Mom, can you take the baby now?" I have to respect her boundaries. She actually doesn't respect mine because she'll just walk into my room and be like, out into the house and be like, "Jamie." I'm like, "Mom, please knock. I could be, you know, masturbating." But it's true though.
Welcome back to another episode of Girls Know Nothing. Today's guest shows us that you can be a DJ as well as a mother. Jamie loves to create feel-good content that all parents can relate to, but by night, she is a world-class international DJ and producer working with the likes of global dance phenomenon Head Candy, MTV, Radio 1, and Ministry of Sound. Not to mention, she is also featured in Forbes magazine. So welcome to the studio, Jamie. So I did see an Instagram reel that you created about typical questions you get as a mum, as a DJ.
Am I still DJing? I get a lot. Am I still out there working as a DJ because I'm a mum? That's one thing I wanted to mention is we are a society now where women work, and beforehand, we didn't have that. We would stay at home and obviously the man would go to work. And now we're a foundation of women that work. Like my mum worked, but her mum didn't work. Her dad went out and worked. So the generation has changed. So people automatically assume, "Oh, are you still DJing?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm still earning. I'm still making, I have to make my money somehow." Like at the end of the day, it's not going to stop just because I've pushed a baby out.
Yeah.
So you get it a lot.
I think it's really important that being a mum isn't your entire person, because you are a whole human being, right?
Oh my God.
And you aren't here to just,
and it's an extension. And so I said to every pregnant woman, I'm like, it's an extension of you. You are not changing. You're still the same person. And with friendships as well, friendships change. People don't call you anymore because they expect the fact that you're going to be busy. I did it with my friends. And then when I had a baby, I had to make those phone calls. I'm so freaking sorry that I treated you differently because you were a mum.
Yeah.
And I think even I had an argument with a friend the first 3 months of me having Rocket. My birthday was in April. He was born end of February. And I didn't invite her because I didn't want to cause, she's my best friend in the world. I was like, I'm not going to invite her because she's going to have to get a babysitter. It's going to be shit for her and too much. So I didn't say anything. And then she was like, why did you not invite me to your birthday? And I was like, I really thought I didn't want to cause you any stress.
Yeah.
I did it to favor you, not to pull you back. And she was like, even if I couldn't go, I would have liked the invite.
Yeah, to still feel included.
And then it just clicked. Everything clicked. And I was like, oh, I felt like a horrendous person. Because I didn't realize, even then, when I was still postpartum. Yeah, so.
I mean, do you think, what are the biggest like challenges you found in trying to maintain, you know, your personal life of friendships as well as being a mum and your work, like your professional career?
So we moved out of London after lockdown. We were like, we want to be near the beach, we buy a dog and have that space.
White picket fence life.
That white picket fence life. Yeah. And have, just have the space. what you can get in Kent from what you can get in South London. We were in a tiny two-bed flat. One of the rooms was a studio, an office, and then our bedroom was attached to the kitchen. You'd roll out of bed into the kitchen. That's how small it was. And I said, Flip, if we get pregnant, the baby's going to have the drawer as the cot. Like, that's going to have to be the only space that we have. So we had to move, moved out. And that's when it hit that my friends, it's really hard to get them to come out to Kent, even though it's like 38 minutes on the train, getting them to find time to come and see me. And then when you have the baby, everyone wants to see the baby.
Yeah.
The first 2 months. And you're like, oh, this is going to be fine. I'm going to have... And then it goes silent. So being, I say to people that have just had friends who have just had babies, please touch base with them 3 months into them having the baby, because that's when it gets lonely. That's when you notice your body has changed. You don't get gifts through the door and the excitement of a newborn anymore. You're really living the parenting life. And that's when it starts coming to realization. So I do this thing now where I'll get a gift for somebody that's had a baby 3 months after they've had the baby.
Oh, that's really
because
nice.
They won't have anything. They won't, they get inundated with gifts. We got so much stuff and I didn't know what was from where, who got us what. So when they were like, did you get the gift? I'm thinking to myself, oh my God.
Which one?
Yeah. So now I'm like, get it later. Because then it's like a nice little surprise and something just to brighten their day, because it can get really, really hard.
I never know what to do. Do you buy gift for parents or baby? Because surely eventually you're like, it's always about the baby. When is it going to be about me?
100%. So like buying them a nice candle or something that they can enjoy in their spare time. I think that's just as important as buying a baby. And also clothes. Everyone buys newborn clothes and it literally lasts 3 weeks and then they grow out of them.
I did that mistake.
Oh, I know, it's hard. So, but you do before you...
Because it looks so cute, right?
Yeah. One of my friends, she bought me like a care package of like baby toothpaste, baby swimming nappies, things that you wouldn't think to get. And I was like, that's brilliant.
So how do you manage your job and like the emotional aspect of being away from... Maybe, yeah.
So obviously I'll fly to different countries a lot and I'll go for a day and then come back. And we are in a very fortunate situation where my mum bought the house next door to us.
I love that. Some people's worst nightmare, but I love that.
Right? It is. I mean, we've had screaming matches down our street. It's been like an episode of Emmerdale or something. But honestly, it's been a blessing in disguise having her live next door. So it is handy, but you still need to respect her boundaries. I can't just be like, Mom, can you take the baby now? I have to respect her boundaries. She actually doesn't respect mine because she'll just walk into my room and be like, into the house and be like, Jamie, and I'm like, Mom, please knock. I could be, you know, masturbating. But it's true though. You know, you just have those boundaries. I don't want to walk in and see her having sex with her partner. So I'm going to knock at that friggin' door. And juggling the whole parenting thing with DJing it's okay for me because I'm booked so far in advance.
Okay.
My partner, on the other hand, is a struggle because his is like, oh, you're going to Saudi Arabia for a month on Monday. And then we're just like, shit. So it's getting all the family together, doing the diary, making sure that we have cover. Also, we have a dog. So that's an extra thing that he, bless his heart, he always gets forgotten about. By the time it comes to the Friday, I'm like, oh my God, where's the dog going to go? So it's normally ringing neighbors, being like, can it? It's honestly a hustle in itself, parenting the dog and the baby.
So is your partner also a DJ?
No, he's a presenter for gaming.
Okay, because I was going to say, how do you, if both of your books go away, how do you manage that?
Yeah, so that's literally, we just bring in the family and have like a family meeting and go, right, this is what's going to happen. So luckily, all our parents live in this country. I think it would be so much harder. Otherwise, we would have had to get a nanny. That would be the only way. At the beginning, when my mum lived up north, when the baby was born, my friend came and stayed and I taught her to DJ during the time she was helping me with the baby. And now she's like worldwide international DJ. She's now doing that. So
that.
Yeah, but the thing is don't teach your nanny to do the thing that you do because you're going to lose her as the nanny. Well, not that I need her anymore, but...
I was going to ask you, what would be the advice you'd give to working mothers that are trying to manage their careers and their families? But that's probably the piece of advice, right? Don't teach the nanny to do what you do.
Yeah, exactly. And also, because of the stuff I couldn't do, I would be like, do you want to do this gig? It's a really good experience. And she's freaking smashed it. So she's doing really freaking well. I can put her under my gigs and yeah, she's soaring, which is nice. But it is a struggle at times. At times it's hard. And that's why I started doing those TikToks of holding the baby and making those sets.
So the Britney Spears one.
Did you like it?
I loved that one. Yeah. It's really cute.
I have a big, big love for Britney Spears. She's my era. I'm old now. So she was my idol. And I thought, my friend said to me, why have you not done a Britney Spears one yet with the baby? I thought to myself, oh my God, why haven't I done a Britney one? That's when I went in and recorded it. But the reason why I started that was because I couldn't rehearse my gigs and be a mother at the same time. So I strapped them in and then went and recorded it like that. And then started doing like little videos and then posting them on social media.
Why do you think it was really important for you to show that on social media?
Because you can still DJ and be a mum. A lot of people, I had it the other day, I was in a club seeing my friend DJ and she came up and she was like, I haven't seen you in so long, how's the baby? Are you still DJing? And I was like, yeah, of course I'm still DJing. Don't you ever see me on social media DJing? She was like, oh no, I don't really check it. I just thought because you're a mum now, you don't DJ. And I lost a lot of work when I said that I was pregnant. When I did the announcement, I was on the lineup for Foreverland and they called me up one day and I don't know if this was the reason, but they were like, we don't want you on the headline anymore. And I was just heartbroken and I automatically went, it's because I'm pregnant. They don't want to see a pregnant DJ. But people like Alice in Wonderland, who's in the States and she does Coachella and stuff, she was going right up until her 9 months pregnancy and standing there and performing. So it is changing. The mentality of DJs and being pregnant is changing. But you can be a mother and DJ at the same time.
It's like you wouldn't turn career. To any other a woman in any other profession and say, oh, are you still a lawyer? Or do you still teach? Or like, you know, you can't be seen in a courtroom or in a classroom if you're pregnant.
Well, exactly. And the thing is you automatically lose opportunities. After that conversation I had with my friend in the club where I was like, yeah, I'm still DJing. I got a call a week later being like, hey, we have an opportunity for Formula One. Do you want to do it? That's now I know you're DJing again. Now I wouldn't have got that opportunity if I wasn't out there still networking.
Yeah.
So you still have to hustle. You still have to network. But you have to have balance with obviously being the mum as well. I think balance is the main thing. And it's with everything, with fitness, with work, like with working, doing social media. It can be tough because we have a lot of avenues of income as well as freelancers. And people automatically think, are you going to get a normal job now because you're a mum as well? I couldn't work a normal job. I am not normal in myself. I need to be my own boss.
People never are.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, I mean, how do you prioritize kind of like your self-care when you're talking about fitness? How do you prioritize all of that with all of the like freelance work and being a mum?
So do you want to know the schedule?
Yeah, I actually do because it might help me with mine. Okay. I don't have a baby, but...
You know what? It's really good. We have a podcast, Shush, Don't Tell Mum.
Yes.
And we started thinking about getting people that aren't parents on to see how they're going to adapt once they have babies and stuff. Because I think that's a big conversation to have because it pretty much will happen to all of us at some point. We will have a partner and we have to juggle that as well. It's about quality time with your partner and juggling work. And if you want a baby, my friend Charlotte Holmes, she's decided to not have a baby. So she's given her eggs to IVF. She's had IVF to retract the eggs and donate them. So I think that is just an amazing thing because she doesn't want babies herself.
So and what is your schedule?
Oh, my
like?
Schedule. Oh, yeah, no. Sorry. Schedule. So I wake up at about 5:30 in the morning. I jump on my Peloton. We invested in a Peloton. Greatest thing. Every parent needs a Peloton because you don't need to go anywhere to do the gym. And if you have some weights as well, they on the app, they have everything on this app. So you've got yoga on there, weight training with just the weights that you have. And then obviously you can do Peloton tread now or the Peloton bike. So we have the Peloton bike. Wake up early, jump on the bike. Then I try and do 20 minutes of meditation afterwards or journaling. But then he normally wakes up around 5:36-ish. Most recently, he's been waking up about 6:30, which has been a godsend. So that's why I have to wake up at 5. Otherwise, I don't get to see that exercise in the morning. So it can be tough. So he wakes up, I give him a bottle, change his nappy. We watch a little bit of TV and have just our time together. And then I come down, give him some food, a little bit of playtime, and then put him back to bed again. So when he goes down about 9, he's asleep till about midday. So that's when I can get ready and then do some work. So the routine of like showering, doing my makeup and hair, I can do that all in about 20 minutes now. I'm like, bam, 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 bam.
You do learn to pick up some weird skills, don't you? And right? Your life changes.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And then he wakes up at 12, we'll have lunch and a little bit of playtime. And then he goes down for his second nap. So you just have to juggle it around their schedule. We found a book called Sensational Sleeping Plan, and that really cemented he's always slept through the night. So I'll put him down roughly about 6:45. I find if I put him down earlier, he wakes up later. Then if I put him down later, he wakes up earlier. The science is weird.
Yeah. So bizarre.
So when he goes down, I'll just work around him. But he goes to nursery Mondays and Fridays. He's at my mother's on Tuesdays, and he's at my mother-in-law's on Thursdays. And we have swimming lessons with him on Wednesdays. So I'm with him the weekend, Mondays and Wednesdays.
You know, and I always thought the whole like needing a village to raise a child was a myth. But clearly in your case, it's not. It's not at all. But.
And then you juggle, yeah. And you have to juggle your social media and obviously me DJing. But the thing is we never thought social media was an avenue.
Yeah.
So my partner, he started doing these nappy changes on TikTok and it blew up. And it was only, he was doing it on Instagram and somebody said, why don't you just start posting it on TikTok? And he opened the app one day after posting his first video and he had 35 million views on one video. We were just like, what? This is mad. Just nappy changing videos, just talking to your baby when you change them. And so we started doing that on top of everything else.
This is the thing where people forget, like having a 9-to-5 job, you don't have to juggle that as well. You literally go to your job, you do your job, and then there's nothing else to deal with.
Forget about it.
Instagram is a fun thing and not a work thing. But I want to know about how you got started as a DJ, because I feel like everybody has such different stories, right? Mm-hmm. So how did you kind of like fall into that career, or was it something you'd always wanted to do?
I fell into it. I was at theatre school as a kid and I was in the West End shows and performing. And then when I left school, I started working at Abercrombie and Fitch.
Nice.
Are we millennials or are we Gen Z? I don't know what generation we are.
I have no idea.
But I'm 35 now. So back then that was the thing you did, I think. If you were a performer, you were like, let's work at a store so I can be flexible for my castings. So we'd go to castings. And then I got into a band, a girl band. And I was doing that for about 3 years. We were recording the album with Black Eyed Peas in LA, back and forth. And then we disbanded. So we were on tour with N-Dubs and Ed Sheeran.
Oh my God, you literally had like any of my like, because I'm 27, so like anyone in my school's dream career, basically. And Dove's Black OPs.
Yeah, exactly. So we were really in it and then we fell out on this tour and then we separated and I was working, at that point I was juggling Abercrombie, working as a waitress in clubs, and I would just stand there watching the DJs and I needed to be able to perform still. And it had all stopped in an instant. So I thought to myself, how can I perform? And I'd lost all the confidence in singing. I had no confidence anymore from being in the whirlwind with the label, and they literally chew you up and spit you out. That is the way of the industry. It's horrendous. Still now to this day, like, get tearful about it. And I just would sit there and watch these DJs. So I started burning CDs and writing the tracks on them and asking the DJs before they started playing if I could play for an hour. They'd be like, Jamie, you have to wait to the tables. I was like, no, 1 hour. Just give me 1 hour. They will love it. And then I'll come off and then I'll waitress. And I was a friggin' awesome waitress. Like, I would get tips every, I was just friggin' hot on it. So I think that they realized I could balance DJing for an hour or 2 hours, and then because it was always dead for the first 2 hours of the club opening, it would start at 10, by 12 it would be round. So I'd start properly working at 12.
So what would you say kind of was your biggest challenge in terms of moving into being a DJ?
So the one of the challenges I found was people thought I was a great waitress and I wasn't a DJ. And I was trying to say, hey, I'm a DJ now, book me as your DJ, not as your waitress. Because in nightlife, in the industry, it's all about who your clients are, who your clientele is. So you'd get high-end clients and they'd be like, hey, I've just flown in. Can you get me a table tonight at Rain now? That's open. But I would work in, it was a place called Tonteria, China White's, and which is now Libertine,
yep.
Whiskey Mist. These were the clubs I would work in. So I had a brilliant clientele of high-end clients. And nobody would treat me seriously as a DJ. So I left the country and I went to Australia.
And when nobody knew that you was a
waitress. No, and I went in and I was like, guys, I'm a hot freaking DJ in the UK. At that point in time, I'd only ever opened for the DJs in London. So I was, no idea what I was doing with my burnt CDs. Went into Cafe Del Mar on Darling Harbour in Australia and faked that I was a huge DJ in the UK. And this was the time where people weren't really on Instagram, so they couldn't really research you to see if you were actually talking shit. Instagram was around, but it wasn't as rife as it is now. And then they got me a residency and I was earning £1,000 a week, $1,000 a week, which is nothing in Australia, by the way. So like $500 a gig doing their day parties. So I did that for 3 months. And then I came back to the UK and I was like, I'm a DJ now. If you want me, book me as your DJ. And that's how I got in.
Because you've played at some really like amazing places. So how did you get that big break?
Hustling, like literally talking to people, messaging everybody, hey, if you're looking for a DJ, if you need somebody because somebody's canceled. It was literally networking, going out there and meeting people. It was a little easier because I knew people in the nightclub industry already. But the problem is back then in like 2015, 16, it was all hip hop heavy. It wasn't really house heavy. And I loved at that time, Kygo was just coming out with all his tracks. I loved Tropical House. I'd just come back from Australia. So it was all beach vibes, all house out there. So when I came back, I knew hip hop, but I didn't love it. It wasn't my soul. I found it harder finding venues that did the music that I loved.
Which is insane to think about now because there must be so many venues that do house now.
Yeah, so many. And so that's why I started my podcast, Jagged Jungle, because I thought, right, if they need to hear my mix, they can go onto SoundCloud and listen to it. So I started doing the Tropical House, Head Candy kind of sound. And then Head Candy called me and were like, we want you to be the face of Head Candy's Tropical House sector for Sony Music. And I was like, yeah, awesome. This is great. So it was all, the thing is the hustle is real because you're doing everything for free at the time. And then down the line, then you will reap the rewards. But it's the first stage of, you know, going, doing a radio show for free and just hustling. You've just got to start somewhere. But I was lucky enough earning my way with the little gigs that I was doing. Like I became the resident DJ for STK. So when they started opening all the STKs around the world in Canada, Washington, I would go and play over there. So that really opened doors for me as well.
What would you say would be like the most memorable or like craziest venue or gig you've ever done?
Oh, I loved touring with Ministry of Sound, Head Candy, because we were in a different city every single week, which has just been great. Doing all the O2s has been fab. But actually, my favorite is when I do yachts. I love yacht life. I love boating. That would be my side hustle. If I had a second job, my side hustle would be, what do they call it? When the people like wash the sides of the boats and they freaking outside all day with their jet skis and driving them around.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, I could not imagine you going from DJing to cleaning a boat.
But I know, but I think it's more like when I would do it, I'd meet so many people from all different cultures, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand. And they had such a great energy about them and a beautiful glowing tan. And I thought, this is the life, guys. You're having fun. But it is hard for them. That was great. And then that's where I played with David Guetta and Black Coffee. And it was very intimate. There was about 30, 40 guests on the boat. So I'd be performing with these huge artists in this small selective area. Like I took... Mark Ronson came up to me and gave me his number. That was probably the most insane thing, because when you do these big events, these big festivals, you don't really see the light of day. You just shake hands and then off you go when you swap over. But this was so intimate, you couldn't go anywhere either. They'd have to get helicopters to come and pick you up. So you'd be waiting around after your set. So that was the most insane gig I think I've ever done. And I did that for 3 years.
Lived your best life then.
Oh my God, yeah. This is before I had the baby. I couldn't do that now, really. I could, but not for every single, because I would go for 4 days of the month every single month.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot when you've got a little one.
So what would be the biggest piece of advice you would give to like aspiring DJs?
Don't shit where you eat. A lot of people drink and do drugs on the gig.
Okay.
Don't do that, because you will get a reputation very quickly. People talk in this industry. And respect your fee, because a lot of new DJs will come in and they'll be like, I know I've spoken about doing stuff for free, but it is important to know your worth. And it loses the value of a good DJ as well. Why is she that price, but you're that price? And it happens with photographers as well, I've noticed, when they're breaking in. They'll do it, they'll undercut other DJs and they'll undercut other photographers when they're coming in. Respect your price and stick with it.
I think, because I was thinking, like, you know, as someone who's been in the industry for a while, obviously, with TikTok and Instagram Reels, loads of DJs kind of breaking into the industry by putting sounds out onto social media platforms. Like, is that a good way to do it, or is that just you
nowadays
doing free work?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I have to do more of that as well, you know, making mashups and then people can use the sounds, which is great.
Like, I do love listening to them, I can't lie.
They're great, aren't they?
I think it's how I discover loads of random new people. So like, but I don't know if that gets you booked for things, or if that's just like,
you just have to be careful with the piracy side of things, because they'll be like, oh, this belongs to Universal, and then they'll take the video down. So it's always about tagging the sound and then muting the sound that you've tagged. That's what you have to do with social media. You have to always go around. I get a lot of questions actually coming through my DMs being like, Jimmy, how have you released this mashup and it hasn't been taken down? Because I've actually credited the artist through the sound.
Okay.
So it's important to make sure that you credit. But other than that, I mean, back in the day, it was really hard. You'd release something, it'd take you all day to do it, and then they'd rip it off. They'd take it down. SoundCloud was awful for that as well. Yeah.
It's the thing about trying to break into that kind of industry, but you wouldn't want someone else to rip your work off, so.
No, you wouldn't. But the going conversation is, how are you going to be a big DJ if you can't even release the remixes? Because you've got to go to the label and get the publishing rights for it. So that's the one thing I struggle with. I have so many remixes and mashups of tracks I've done and I can't release them because I have to go to the publisher, and then they'll be like, yeah, it's going to cost you £10,000 to clear this. And you're just like, I'm a new artist. I don't have £10,000 floating around in my bank account to spend it on one song that might not even do very well. So it can be hard. So it is all about making those mashups, crediting the artist on social media, and fingers crossed it doesn't get taken down.
Yeah, you just have to pray, basically.
Yeah.
But it's the same. I feel like I have loads of creative industries, but, you know, because of the things you've talked about, you know, potentially, you know, like you're unsure, but potentially losing work because you're pregnant, or like how to juggle motherhood and being a DJ, is it really safe to assume that being a DJ is so male dominated?
Yeah, I mean, especially back in the day as well. It really was. And that was one of the conversations we had. I think I did an interview with Forbes, and it was Women's International Month. And it was like 100 years of freedom that women have had where they haven't, because apparently we weren't even paying our own taxes until, I think it was like 79 or something.
Sounds like a dream right now.
Doesn't it?
Can't lie.
I mean, but the fact that they couldn't even earn their own money.
Yeah.
Women couldn't even earn their own money. it has been very male dominated. People are getting more comfortable with females DJing. There was an assumption right at the beginning of my career where they saw you as a woman, assumed you weren't going to be very good at your job. So I would do a thing where I'd tie my hair back, put it in a low bun, put hoodie on and hope and wear baggy clothes and hope that they wouldn't think I was a girl, because I didn't want the assumption that in a nightclub that I was going to be shit because I was a female. And this is why there are freaking awesome female DJs out there. Be good at your job, like learn everything that you need to learn, be the best DJ that you can possibly be, so we can break that stigma that women aren't good or technical because they're a girl, or, you know.
I mean, have you noticed any massive improvements in terms of gender diversity when it comes to the industry?
100, even in the last year, it's been incredible. Everybody's accepted now. I did this amazing gig at Wilderness recently called House of Sublime, and everybody's accepted in there. Everybody's pronouns are accepted. There's no judgment. And it's just be who you are. The thing is we're in a society, talking about judgment, everybody judges everyone at the moment, especially on social media. Yeah. I don't know about you, but do you get scared to like release certain things on social media because of how people are going to react?
I do, but then I mute every single app on my phone.
Do you? So notifications off.
No, ignorance is bliss, I think.
It's so true. Like, I stopped watching the news when I had the baby. So the 25th of Feb he was born, and that's when the Russian war broke out.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's happening with Ukraine? What's happening? And my partner went, I'm turning all of these apps off. BBC News, Daily Mail, it's going off. And I haven't re-downloaded. I don't know what is happening in the world. And it is ignorance is bliss. As long as I do my best for the environment. You don't need to watch all this negative shit on social media. I think it's changing a lot now. People aren't judging labels anymore. We can be anything that we want to be.
Was that the kind of the biggest challenge that you faced, like you personally being judged all the time?
At the beginning, 100%. Now, not so much. I think now I've done enough years to be able, like, Jaylee, she's really good. She's good at her job. There's no judgment there now, but the older generation, I think they still struggle with seeing. I have that conversation with, oh, you're a DJ and a mother. They can't put two and two together.
Yeah. So how do you overcome that?
You just have to educate. You just have to have that conversation. No, it's possible. You can make it work. And they go, oh, are you rich? Do you have a nanny? You get the odd comment.
It's always
like that.
No,
I have greatest support system.
It's always that stereotype, isn't it? Like you were saying about how DJ, like there's, in my head, there's a stereotype that DJs are always party animals, always doing this, always doing that, and then always rich. But it's probably...
It's completely... Looks. I had a conversation with my tax man the other day, and this, I don't know if I'm going to be leaving my tax man soon because of this conversation we had, but he went, why are you buying music? I'm a DJ, I have to buy my music. He was just... Because he was very confused about it. He was like, why can't you stream it? I was like, you can't stream music on, you can with certain equipment, but you've got to download the music somehow.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, the label hasn't sent me that track. I have to buy the track. I have to go to iTunes and physically buy the track. And people go, what? You buy tracks? When my accountant said it, he goes, I'm not sure if we can tax this. I'm like, yeah, because I wouldn't be able to play anything otherwise.
So is it just a thing as well that you find it really hard to like manage as a business because of old fashioned beliefs about in the kind of industry?
I think the only thing I find hard about this life is doing my taxes. I've found a balance with parenting and being a DJ 100%. The lack of sleep is hard.
Yeah.
When I worked on Saturday, I did a gig until 1 a.m, drove back from Manchester to Kent and then had to parent all day. So that was tough.
What do you think that the industry could do to make it a more positive place? Well, it may make your life easier to be a mother and a DJ.
I don't think this is just as relative to being a mother and a DJ, but being a woman in this industry, we work in nightlife. AKA we finish gigs at stupid o'clock and it's very unsafe. The world has gone a bit crazy recently. This is how I feel. And I've started to feel a little more unsafe. I don't know whether that's being a mother. It's like this hidden,
heightened
scarce. There's been times where men have approached me when I've been walking back to my car at night and I've just had to be like, don't you come near me. getting the female DJ home safely is a big thing. Female DJ, and any DJ really, it's really important because you just don't know who's going to come up to you in the middle of the night when you're on your way home. And even ordering a cab for them, making sure they get the bouncer gets that DJ into the car safely is really, really important.
Have you had, apart from the one that you just mentioned, like a really bad experience of it yourself?
No, just that was a horrible one because he literally came so close to me. He was like following me, crossed the road, made me feel really uncomfortable. And I just had to like stop and do my stance. And then you have those horrific thoughts in your head, like the Sarah Everard situation, where you go, oh my God, that was so close to home for me.
Yeah.
Because she was in Clapham. I was living so close to Clapham at the time when that happened. And he then dropped her body in Ashford, where I ended up moving to. So I was like, oh my God, this is so close. And she was just wearing her gym clothes. And I'm wearing, you know, leather fucking dressed up to the nines. And I'm walking with, so I'll always take my heels off and put my trainers on. But at the same time, that's still not just safe. There's, you can get alarms. And when I worked in properties, it was the same thing. Like I'd always get scared to like show men around houses. So we had those, what are they called?
Oh, it's like a rape alarm.
Yeah, like a rape alarm. We had a rape alarm, but the problem is it would always go off because if you press the button, even just lightly, it just goes off.
Yeah, and they're loud things. But like, has being a woman, do you think it's changed the way you've interacted with promoters, other colleagues, even the way you dress and things like that?
What do you mean? Like,
do you think you have to behave a certain way when you're talking to people in the industry because you're a woman?
No, I don't think so anymore. I say anymore because at the beginning I did feel it, but also I didn't have the confidence I have now from being years and years of doing this and reading the crowd. And for instance, taking requests and how to come across, you can't come across rudely to a customer who's asking for a song, but now I don't take any requests. I'm like, enjoy the music.
Yeah, I've
Whereas
seen so
back
many
in the day,
drunk
I'd be like,
people trying to get requests.
And I was that girl. I was the one that would go up to the DJ and be like, play Britney Spears.
Yeah, my friend would do that. She'd write something on the notes on her phone and just hold it up for
That's
ages.
That's a new one, the phone thing. Whereas before you had to write it on a little piece. I'm really showing my age by going back in the day. Oh God, I'm not that old.
I mean, I would never have guessed you were in your 30s until you said so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yes.
But I change the final question. So you're like my guinea pig for it.
Okay.
But I ask the guests a similar final question.
Okay.
And I want to know what piece of advice you would offer your younger self and what it would be based on your life and your career journey so far.
Oh, wow. I would say don't care about what anybody thinks in your industry. So for instance, I spent 2 days working on a track, and yesterday, my partner's in Saudi Arabia, so there's only so much you can listen to. You have no bass over a phone, but he listened to the track and his face was like, I don't like it. And my heart was crushed. So I still even do it to this day, but my advice would be to me, my future self, is release every single thing you make, regardless of what you think about. If it comes from your heart, release it, because it's not going to do anything in the record folder, just sitting there. You know, just keep plowing on and making, creating, putting it out and hustling. Because I have found myself creating things and then just putting it into the closet and then it never sees the light of day again. And then I'll revisit it down the line. I'm like, that was really good. It's not on trend anymore, but why the hell didn't I release that? So release absolutely all those young DJs, start making music. You're so lucky you're in a time where you can go on YouTube, or there's a program called Fader Pro, which I use a lot, and big DJs go on there and teach you how to make a wicked house track. You can learn how to make a track in 24 hours. Consistency is key with that. And giving yourself the break as well. Doing 90-minute stints of working, turn your phone off, because that's one of the biggest challenges is the phone, social media, the notifications and popping. I've had to turn them all off as well, but I'll still check the comments and stuff. And it drives me mad. And I get really, my love language is words of affirmation. So that comes on both terms. So if somebody says something bad to me, it really affects me. But if they say something great to me, I'm like, oh my God, that's, but that's my love language.
Yeah.
So I need to just.
But the worst thing, I think the thing to take with that is the worst thing that can happen is someone says no.
Exactly. But the thing is, if somebody's giving you bad, like bad negativity on social media, that means you're doing something right. Because you're making that impact, which is pretty cool. So that's where my brain goes for that. But yeah, put everything out you make. So that's my advice.
That's amazing. I think, do you know what? That's something you can transfer to any industry.
Oh, absolutely.
So I really like that. And I think that's something that I'm going to take and apply to my own life. But yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
And I know you're releasing new music soon.
Yeah. So next year is a big one. I don't know whether I'm going to do an EP. I haven't really decided. Once I've got all the music there in front of me, I can then work out how I'm going to release it one by one. Because normally it would be single bass at a time. But it's getting them to the right labels as well, shopping them around. There's so much more about, you have to make the music and then afterwards you've got to shop them to the labels and see who's going to pick them up or whether you have your self-release. So I have my own record label as well, which I created in lockdown so I could release my own tracks. So that's always fun. So I'm definitely going to be releasing stuff on Jagged Jungle Records as well.
Okay, well, that's something to keep out for next year. And then we'll be playing it for my summer parties next year.
Oh my God, please, I'll come and DJ.
Yeah, sorted.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm down. Thank you.
No, thank you.